I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Good Monday afternoon. By the way, Candy's is closed today. They don't open until 8 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, no!
8 o'clock tomorrow night.
If you're curious.
You know, I thought of a better phone number for him.
No.
We're
not going there.
We're done. Okay.
Candy's with a K is in a little bit of legal trouble in Pennsylvania.
Is that an I or a Y?
It's a Y,
it's
Dan.
It's a Y.
That's a great question.
Very odd. Important. I would have gone with the I. Upscale joint like that.
Maybe an IE. Who knows?
I don't know if we're going to have time. I don't know.
Enough room on the side of the bus.
Cody Tapp just brought in his journalism class. I think they're over at UMKC and they're right there, and I wanted so badly just to say, run. Don't do it.
That's the same class. I didn't take it with Cody Tapp. I took it with the previous professor, but that's the same class that I took at UMKC.
Is it?
It is.
Did you love it?
I did. It was different back then. It was called Radio and TV Personality, and now it's like podcasting.
Is that the one that Joel...
Yes.
Why am I...
I almost said Goldberg, no. And then I almost said another Joel. I know 50 Joels.
Former weather guy, Channel 9.
Oh, my gosh.
Why am I having a brain fart?
Pete Grigsby?
No,
he has a podcast. I've known
Joel,
him for 30 years.
I've been on his
Stop
podcast.
It.
Joel Osteen?
No.
Joel. Now you've made
Dan,
me forget.
Dan, you worked at Channel 9.
With him, and you've made me forget.
J. Cole?
No. Nichols.
Lil Joel.
No.
Joel Dirk?
Was it Joel Nichols?
Nichols.
No, it was not.
Oh. Do you remember your professor's name?
I do.
Can you say it?
Peter Morello.
Why do I know that name?
I don't know. He worked in the industry.
Oh. Did you ever get to tour the radio station?
Yeah. Well, I already worked here.
Oh.
By the way, I could not help but notice.
The special bathroom downstairs.
During one of the football games over the weekend, I could not help but notice that there was an advertisement that if you watch one of the morning shows, you know it sweeps because I've been out of TV so long, I don't look at the calendar, nor do I care anymore. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I had forgotten November's knocking at the door. For those of you who don't know, that's one of the four ratings months where no one can go on vacation and everyone is vying for your eyeballs. And
poor viewers.
You're going to see a lot of, you know, watch tonight, breaking news, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff, right?
A lot of black light exposés.
Yes. So what is really behind that hotel door? Like, right. We
you don't want to know.
Yeah, right.
Candies.
We went undercover to Candies.
So I can't even talk about some of the stories we did in the name of sweeps. I can't because it's mortifying. It's mortifying.
Give me one.
I could sit for hours and tell you, but there was one where we knew at a certain location there were things going on in a massage parlor that are probably not board certified above board.
Like it would make Candy blush?
Yes.
Okay.
The lotion parlors.
And so we sent in our producer because you couldn't send in, you know, someone that's recognizable from television. We sent in our producer with a purse of some sort, satchel with a hole in the bottom and a camera. They called it the handy cam, you know, to show
what
it was called. And it was just one of those tiny little old, you know, the kind back when we were having kids, you filmed the birth of the baby, those teeny tiny little
handy cam. That's what it was called. Yeah.
So he went in and
Scott Man's brain went somewhere else.
Tried to get the woman at the counter to say that that's what, because, you know, at the point that you go back there and those things are happening, you are now breaking the law and you can't break the law. So he was trying to get her to say at the front counter, you know, what would be going on if he did go back there, which he couldn't because that would be breaking the law.
Trying to capture a lot of euphemisms.
One
on
of
tape.
The funniest handycam undercover investigations. I'm sorry, you don't have to go deep undercover when a place like that is open at like 11:30 p.m. on a Tuesday, you don't have to go that undercover to know that there's probably something going on there that should not be going on there. And it was like, well, you know, I mean, so like what exactly?
What can I get for 25?
Yes,
versus
it was
what
like
can
that.
I get for 50?
And she wasn't having any of it. She goes, no, no talk. Just do. No talk. Just do. That's what I remember about it. One of the
So did you ever...
Did he get a massage?
Did you ever get
no,
the story?
No, no, no. Because once you go back there, you're breaking the law, Dan. And our legal was like, don't you dare go back there.
So did you ever get the story?
Well, the story was there's something going on back there behind the curtain.
Wait a minute. He totally could have gone back and gotten the massage. It's when it steps into...
Tune in tonight at 10 and find out. And I just remember thinking, this poor kid that we sent in there, like, just act natural and just ask.
How old was he?
Oh, gosh. Sam's age at the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Poor kid.
Anyway, I could not help but notice during.
This is really important stuff you're doing for journalism.
Highbrow. You know, somebody's going to win a Peabody. during the football games over the weekend, one of the stations is giving away money if you tune in, like, and watch. And Dan, I could not stop laughing because, you know, we were probably there when we were doing this back then too, that someone in marketing comes up with this brilliant idea that if you just tune into our morning show, we're going to give you $200.
Yeah.
These are multi-
Watch for the special code.
Billion dollar corporations.
Yeah.
One lucky winner has a chance at winning $200.
We'll tell you the code after traffic and weather.
Oh, please let me make up the code words. Today's password is, please God, someone watch. All lowercase.
That's what they're saying, isn't it? Pretty much.
At the point that you're giving away.
$200 a day.
Yeah, I mean.
Today's password is candies. Yeah.
Candies with a K.
But when you plug it in.
Massage
You
parlor.
Have to spell with it with a K. Oh, my God. Someone. That class that just walked in, they're like, do you miss TV? Oh, my God, no. But there were some fun times, but no. I do not.
Well, I mean, same with radio. I'm not going to say radio is better or worse than it was when I was first getting started in the business. And, you know, when we were over at the old building in Westwood, it was just different. And we were very young and immature. And, you know, the stunts that they used to do at the old building, in particular a radio station down the hall,
are now old and tired and have been done 30 years ago.
And can't be done. You can't
and
do it.
And legally can't be done again.
No, I mean, they were...
There are restraining orders.
It was so
still in
different.
Effect.
Yeah, probably. It was just so over the top. And I'll tell you about some during the break. I'm not even going to describe them on the air because it was just so crazy back in the day. But, I mean, but we've gotten older and I hope a little bit more mature.
Oh, yes.
But... not mature enough that I don't laugh at a strip club named Candies with a K at 53. That's still kind of funny to me. You know?
Two-drink minimum.
Right, two-drink minimum.
No, it's BYOB.
By the way, we mentioned it earlier. Congratulations to Salvador Perez.
Yes.
Got the Roberto Clemente Award.
There's a reason he's not in studio today.
I did not know about this rule.
A couple reasons. They are not allowed in baseball for anyone to do media in baseball until the World Series is over, which I find to be a very stupid rule.
It is dumb.
Because there are 1,000 things one could talk about with your local baseball team that isn't in the World Series, which was outstanding over the weekend, that would have nothing to do with the World Series. But they're all embargoed. They are all embargoed no matter what. And the sports guys gave us an example that we got a new GM here. I don't know which GM it was, but it was during one of the World Series. We happened to get a new GM. They could not even roll out like the presser to meet the town because we're getting a new GM because it happened during the World Series.
Really?
They are that embargoed.
Is it the current GM?
I believe it's our current GM, yeah.
So dumb.
That is dumb. I mean, why wouldn't Major League Baseball want local stations like ours here in this building
to have a carve out for this award that we could talk about that.
Not only that, but have local baseball players on to talk about how incredible the walk-off grand slam was on Friday night and how there was almost another one on Saturday night. And, you know, who do you think's going to win tonight? I mean, it keeps people talking about the very sport that you would think they want you to talk about.
In other regions of the country, by the way, where no one's really paying attention until there's a walk-off grand slam. And then, I'm not going to lie, I went down that rabbit hole and paid attention.
We all did.
I love that guy.
913-586-7798.
When we get back, speaking of careers, flight attendants, they make How much? There's a story in the Stack that one flight attendant has filed for bankruptcy. She's got two side hustles on top of her flight attendant gig.
Mm-hmm. Get to that. Much more coming up in just a moment. 913-586-7798.
So I think when you think flight attendant, back in the 50s and 60s, they tried to sell that job as glamorous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Even though men were smoking right next to your very flammable outfit, you were having to serve beef Wellington.
Everybody was wearing their Sunday best.
Sunday best, all the things. They tried to sell it as glamorous. I think even flight attendants back then, specifically when they were asked to weigh in once a week, would tell you that it was not as glamorous as the advertisements would suggest. Fast forward to today, most flight attendants in 2024, this says, work long and unpredictable hours for a salary that, at least at the start of one's career, is just slightly above minimum wage. In fact, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average flight attendant in the U.S. earned $68,000 in 2023. That's the average. While the bottom 10% earned just $39,000. As the salary calculated by working full-time at $28 per hour, the average number is also highly variable, with many flight attendants often reporting not being able to secure enough flying hours on the job to reach it. So part of it has to do with, can you secure your flying hours?
Right.
And if you can't, all of those variables start going down.
And obviously the flight attendant on an international flight, it would be my guess, I don't know, makes more than somebody on a, you know, a little pond jumper from, you know, Orlando to Jacksonville, Florida.
So this is in the news today, and the Kansas City Star picked it up because someone on Reddit posted the following. The first few years, the pay at United Airlines was so abysmal that I ended up filing for Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it's been the best thing to ever happen to me. The flight attendant, who did not identify themselves by gender, said that they had been supplementing their income as a substitute teacher and Instacart delivery worker, but that was ultimately not enough to keep up with the cost of living while also making strides in their debt load. And I'm guessing that means student debt load. And I don't know. Do you have to have a college degree to be a flight attendant?
I don't think so. The one that I know personally, and I went to high school with her, I know she went to college. She went to KU, but I'm not 100% sure that she graduated. I'll have to ask. We still communicate. I'll have to ask. I don't know. I know this. When Maya graduated from high school, she told her mother and me that she wanted to be a flight attendant, largely because she likes to travel a lot.
Sure.
And both Shonda and I were of the opinion, you're welcome to get into the travel business, but we reminded her flight attendants do not make, you know, what many would consider a livable wage.
Go be a pilot.
Yeah, and then she decided to be a pilot. Yeah.
So many commenters on the Reddit thread pointed out the problem with using bankruptcy as a cure-all after accruing rather debt. However, flight attendant salaries are a persistent point of contention and cause of strife across the industry.
Now, you do get a perk that no other industry will offer you.
You get to travel a lot.
You get to fly wherever you want to, whenever you want to. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
But,
for free.
Sam, but every job, almost every job has perks. And is it enough when you look at, think about this, not just the salary, look at all that they're putting up with as babysitters 30,000 feet above us.
I was going to get to that point in just a minute. Yes. You're an adult babysitter. And
So the first time someone snapped at me to bring them some water, I there would be a lawsuit and it would be against Dana.
Or if I had to tell somebody three times to put their tray up or the back of their seat up, come on, you know.
Or their phone down, airplane mode.
Right. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. It is, I think, still considered at least semi-glamorous.
Certainly,
is it? Well.
I mean, I'm obviously slightly younger than you guys. Okay. I never looked at that position, and I was never given the idea that that position was a glamorous job to have.
Well, I think when Dana and I were younger, it still had that aura about it where there was a sense of glamour to being a flight attendant.
Yeah.
And, or what they used to call in the day, stewardesses. But no, you're right. I mean, probably for people your age, it's not considered to be that glamorous. What you get to do, all that travel, I think, is glamorous. Going to, you know, Rome, or if you can get into that international flight attendant category.
But my guess is, right out of flight school, I'd like to go to Paris. Yeah, get in line.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't even think you have to go to flight school. I don't know where they train or if
it's just a training course.
At the hubs, probably at the hubs.
Okay. 913-586-7798. Somebody says here, I won't give any names or numbers. This is my daughter's first year with American. She'll be lucky to make $29,000 this year. They are not paid if the cabin door is open. That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Loading, unloading, delays, all unpaid. That's right. Your flight hours.
But you are at work.
I understand.
That would be like someone saying to us, Scott, that we are only going to pay you when that on-air light comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And in between the breaks, when you're just sitting here trying to run down the hall to use the restroom or grab water or whatever,
right,
that's on you. That's your time.
I had forgotten about that. And if there is a delay, a weather delay or whatever, that is unpaid.
No. Yep. How is that legal? That's the topic. That should be illegal under like the Fair Labor Standards Act.
913-586-7798. Brandy in Liberty. Brandy, hello.
Hey, so my best friend has been a flight attendant since 1989, and the stories, you can imagine the stories, but in addition to, you guys kind of stole my thunder about not getting paid for having to be at work, they also usually have to pay for their own uniforms, and some, depending on the airline, they have to pay at least a part of it toward their uniforms. They get no choice in their uniforms, and they used to be nice, now they are not. The CEOs make a gajillion dollars, and our flight attendants are having to put up with extra safety training. They're on the lookout for terrorists, for drunk people, for crazy people, for people trying to open a door and walk out. I mean, the safety training that they have to go through is really intense, and it's constant. And as Scott said, they're babysitters. And it just makes me crazy. The other thing is, their benefits, their health benefits used to be great. They're not so great. Keep in mind, before smoking was banned on airlines, they were trapped for hours and hours and hours with all that secondhand smoke. The other thing is, a lot of flight attendants have a higher rate of all kinds of cancers because they are high in the air for large periods of time. They're exposed to more radiation. So they don't get paid enough, and you're right, Dana, it should be illegal that they do not get paid for the time when they check in at the airport, and then they have to sit for X amount. They have to be there for like an hour, or depends on the airline, but they have to be there
early,
a lot of way earlier than we got to get there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not flexible. They do get to travel, and that's awesome, but like you have to be able to afford to eat and to put yourself up, you know, like if you get to travel to Europe, cool. But if you are, you know, barely making it as a flight attendant in the United States, you don't really have a lot of money to go be, you know, jaunting around the world.
Fair point. Brandy, great call. Yeah. Thank you for it.
And from the text line, you were talking about how it used to be glamorized. I think it was flying itself that was glamorized.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
they were just adjacent.
Airlines are, listen to this. How is this not illegal? Airlines argue that while flight attendants aren't paid by the hour during boarding, their overall compensation takes into account the time they spend on the ground. No, it does not. No, it does not. Or the salaries wouldn't be that low.
It doesn't take into account at all.
Well, they're saying that the hours, what they are paid hourly while they're in the air, is enough to make up for the time on the ground.
But it's not.
I am not saying it is, but that's what they're arguing.
I mean, name another profession where you're actually at work and not getting paid. Can you imagine if you were a police officer and they only paid you while you were making a traffic stop or an arrest?
Okay, or you were a surgeon and they don't pay you when you're working overnights and you're not called for an emergency surgery. You have to be there. You're on call. You are there. But we're not going to pay you because you're not surgerying.
913-586-7798. Now, teachers would say, I get paid for I don't get paid for a lot of work that I do.
But it's prorated during the summer. You can prorate that during the summer.
But when I'm out getting supplies for my classroom, let's say you're a third grade teacher, right?
Yes.
I'm out at Target getting supplies for my classroom when the summer's over. I'm not getting paid to get those supplies.
But
in fact, I'm losing money.
Give me a better analogy where every single time you are at work, you are not getting paid for the time you're at work. The teacher going to get supplies, they should be paid for that. I'm not saying they shouldn't. Right. That's 3 to 5 times a year they're running out to do that. And then you're right, after hours they're working at home and doing lesson planning.
I'm lesson planning and I'm not getting
paid. But I want to give me an example where you are physically there in the hospital, in the office,
doing
your work, and you're not getting paid for it.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're discussing a story that Dana found regarding the amount of money that flight attendants are paid. And for some, it is shockingly low, like unlivable low. Now, the average is roughly $63,000, I believe Dana said earlier. But we are hearing stories on the text line, for example. One woman says her daughter is a flight attendant and makes $29,000 a year. Wow. Carter in Belton. And by the way, and the bigger point, flight attendants, from what we understand, and neither one of us have been one, do not get paid when they're loading or unloading passengers onto and off of the plane.
Or sitting in the airport waiting to get
on a plane, yeah. Carter in Belton. Carter, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
So I don't know if this would equate to what they're going through, but as a courier driver here in Kansas City, the way I get paid through the company I work for is we get 48% of the cost of the ticket. So the company charges KMBZ for a delivery for $100, I'll get $48 of that. But I only get paid if I make the delivery. So when I'm driving it to the pickup or to the delivery, I'm not getting paid. When I'm sitting and waiting like I did today for 2 hours, I am not getting paid. And then for reimbursement, that $48 that I would get hypothetically, I will reimburse myself for the mileage from that as a W-2 employee.
So do you work for yourself or do you work for the courier?
For the company.
You do, you're an employee of theirs?
Correct.
Okay.
I have a W-2 just like if I were to go work at Amazon.
Okay. All right, buddy. Hey, Carter, do appreciate getting us started. Thank you for it. Let's go to Alyssa in Concordia. Hello, Alyssa.
Hello. I was calling in regards with teachers. There's not really a prorating system. I believe with the state of Missouri, we're contracted, or teachers are contracted, 174 days. And they divide that up into 12 months. It's easier for us. It's easier for them on their financial end also. One of the school districts I worked at, the second school district I worked at, you had a choice of having it in 9 months or in 12 months. But you're only for that 170.
Oh, you cut out there, Alyssa.
In the summer.
Go ahead. Yeah. Finish your thought. You cut out the last sentence. We didn't hear it.
But the reason you get paid over the summer is that they divide it up. It makes it easier for their balancing the books and that sort of thing. It makes it easier for us also. Then there's plenty of times that you're, as a teacher, you're expected to be there later. You're contracted for the day to work for, you know, getting back to school with the meetings and that sort of thing. And then you have the open house, welcome back to school night. You're not getting paid for that. If I had to do my gate duty at a ball game and school goes to 3:40 and then the gate duty starts at 5:00, it's not enough time to go home and go back. So I'm sitting around waiting until I have to go and do my gate duty. There's theme night.
No, wait, hang on, Alyssa. Is gate duty, do you get paid for that?
What is that?
The gate duty, yes, you get paid for. It's from the time the game starts. Gate duty is taking the money You had to sign up for your time to take money for a football game, volleyball game, basketball game, that sort of thing. You get like $15, $25, depending on if it's, you know, varsity, JV basketball girls, JV basketball boys, and varsity girls, varsity boys. So any of those combinations, it's, you know, depending on how many games is how much you would get paid. Mm-hmm. So $10 to $15 starting at 5 o'clock. But that time that you have to wait there, because if you live a half an hour away from school, it's not enough time to really even turn around, go home, and get back. So you're not paid for that time. If they have a STEAM night at the elementary or a reading night, mm-hmm. you're expected to contribute and be there after you've worked your day. And you're not getting paid for that either.
Okay. All right. Hey, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it and for what you do. 913-586-7798. Joe in Harrisonville. Joe, hello.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
We're doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Good. Truck drivers only get paid if that truck is rolling. If I pull into a dock and they're going to unload my truck, if they can do it in under 2 hours, I don't get paid anything for sitting there. While I'm waiting for my next load, I don't get paid for that. If I get stuck in weather, like this last winter, I got stuck in Cheyenne for 3 days because of high winds. I didn't get paid for that. So unless that truck is rolling down the road, you don't get paid for any of that.
So, but you said if they're loading your truck and they take more than 2 hours to load it, you get paid for those 2 hours, correct?
No.
Oh.
Your pay doesn't start until after those 2 hours.
I see.
And then it's only as much as $10 or $20. Wow.
So you want them to load that thing as quickly as possible?
Absolutely. Or unload it as, usually it's unloading because I can get preloaded trucks, but yeah, you want to get in there and get out as soon as you can, because you're not getting paid for sitting there waiting to load or unload.
Okay. Hey, Joe, thank you. Good to talk to you, man.
All right, good to talk to you.
All right. Have a
good
day. All right, YouTube. Last word goes to Jacob in Platte City. And before you get started, it was great to meet you a week ago.
Yes.
It was tons of fun.
So fun.
Yes, guys. It was a great time. I really enjoyed it. Well, I was going to say, I'll touch on what that last guy said real quick. Not all truck drivers are paid that way. Some of us are hourly, and hourly's great. You don't have those problems. But second year airline pilots, when they get on with like the regionals, they're only making $20,000 to $40,000 a year. If you can get on with a well-known American, Southwest, etc., you might be lucky to get 50 in your first year or two.
But how is that even possible, though? I mean, assuming that you're right, and I don't know, how is that even possible to live off of $20,000 a year?
You got to be dedicated, because it's very expensive to become a pilot.
I'm well aware.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, it's very expensive to get to that point, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of work to get paid pennies for while you're first officer. And then eventually, once you work up to a captain, get on a better route, a bigger plane, and then you start making those bigger dollars.
Pilots do well. Jacob, thank you for the call, because one of the guys that I grew up with in Texas, he's a year younger than me, and he was a pilot for years. And so I'm 53. He'd be 52. He's retired. Yeah. He's already retired.
You can also be a pilot for FedEx. You can be a pilot for private corporation. It doesn't have to be commercial.
I think Maya wants to be a private pilot, for some rich guy. And
pilot the old PJ.
That's right.
I got you. I feel you.
That's right. 913.
See some weird stuff doing that.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
So every once in a while I come across something on Twitter and I capture it to remind myself that I want to share it with you guys. And it has everything to do with Kansas City and how great we are here, which we try to keep under wraps. Mm-hmm. A business owner named Michael Girdley over the weekend posted this on Twitter. He writes, "I just spent a month in Kansas City. The three weirdest things, Number one, everyone is super nice, almost to the point of feeling off. Example, I'm at a gas station on the wrong side of town. Another customer, who happened to be 6'6", 250 pounds, with face tattoos, walks over and says, hey, sir, they have a sale on Gatorade. You might want to go check it out. Number two, nobody has a favorite barbecue place. They like them all equally, but it seems they have favorite items at each one. Example.
By the way, he's a big-time CEO down in San Antonio.
Oh, I like the fries at Casey Joe's, and I like the brisket at this place. Number three, everyone dresses like a tourist. Go out on a random Tuesday. Everyone has a Kansas City t-shirt on. Entire stores are devoted to city merchandise. It is nuts. Overall, great place. What did I miss?
Oh, we are insanely proud of our flyover country. And keep flying over it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sam, I tagged Charlie Hustle. I tagged Charlie Hustle in that post that I retweeted, and I go, LOL, Charlie Hustle, because he's right. Everybody's got the Hart Casey shirt, whether it's Casey Curran.
Or Royals or Chiefs or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, everyone is super nice, almost to the point of feeling off. No one has a favorite barbecue place. They just like different things from each one. And everyone dresses like a tourist. I thought that was so funny, but also so true and so lovely.
You know, in fact, you're right about that. And I saw a Charlie Hustle billboard. I think it's on I-35, Johnson County leading into downtown. And I thought to myself, that's true. We have gotten to this place where everybody wants to wear Kansas City gear, even when you're in Kansas City. And there are a few cities that are like that. New York, of course, you could if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But I don't know a lot of New Yorkers, or at least when I go to New York City and I see somebody that you clearly know is from New York, they're not wearing New York City.
The tourist black shirt that I Heart NYC that every tourist wears.
They're wearing a Yankees hat.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another town I've been, maybe Austin, Texas. You'll see a lot of people walking around with Keep Austin Weird shirts.
Okay.
And they're from Austin or Longhorns gear.
I've done my fair share of traveling, and I have never seen it the way that it is in Kansas City.
But that's a good thing, right? It means we're proud of this town.
Oh, absolutely.
We love living here, yeah.
Now, Dana, you sent us something else over the weekend that we have yet to mention today.
I knew this was coming. I was wondering if we were going to get through the whole show without it. The arrows. Is this about the arrows?
This is about the arrows.
Oh, what did you send? I forgot.
Did you know, because I asked my kids, and do not lie.
No need to lie.
I knew. Before you explain all
what
of
you're
this,
talking about.
Yes, I knew.
Wait. I don't mean the possession arrow during a football game. I know that if you see the arrow, that means who's...
These are arrows painted on the field next to the gigantic numbers that are also painted on the field.
So I have watched football in the background of my life, all my life, but I've never paid so much attention. I'm really getting into the nuances of the game,
if you
will.
We're very proud of you for that. That is awesome.
And someone says to me, was it the upside or the downside? Do you remember what that term is? They said, what way are the arrows, the plus side or the minus side? And I said, what does that mean? And he said, well, I can't see the TV. What way is the arrow pointing? I did not notice until the year of our Lord, 2024.
Great year.
That there are arrows on the 10, 20, 30, and 40. So depending on what side the camera is on, you can just look at the screen in a second and figure out, are they at the 30?
Well, you can know
with a whole bunch longer to go.
You're at your own 30.
Correct. Yes. You can know immediately if you're on the defending half of the field or the attacking half of the field, to borrow soccer terms, based on the direction of the arrow next to the yard marker.
Okay, I did not notice heretofore that those arrows were painted on the field. And if I ever did, I didn't know what they were for.
And they point to the end zone nearest.
Yes, correct.
The number.
So I texted my kids and I go, do not lie to me. Did you know that's what those arrows were for? And apparently it's the plus side or the minus side. And my youngest son just wrote, bruh, mama, yes, we all knew that. But I'm so happy you're really starting to pay attention to football.
This reminds me of the day you finally realized what the arrow next to your gas tank on your dashboard is for.
That's another great one that most people don't know, by the way.
That's the side that your tank is on, whatever arrow that's pointed to.
Correct.
That was so confusing to me, I just bought an electric vehicle.
By the way, daylight saving time starts, let's see, when is it?
This is the bad one.
Sunday, November 3rd. Yeah, fall back.
This is the bad one, the bad one.
Well, no,
this is the good one. No.
Because it's right now it's dark, like it's getting dark currently.
Yeah, no. But you fall back, so now it would be...
I don't
that
understand
dark
fallback
at 456.
Either. It means we're on the air for a while and it's pitch dark out.
That
and
is correct.
And we start getting
the
really
last hour of the show is all
around.
Dark.
For yes. me, it's already dark. When I leave. Whatever.
Right. But it starts, I guess it's this Sunday. Sunday, November 3rd.
But Saturday, midnight into Sunday, correct, is when you're
correct.
Supposed to fiddle with your clocks?
Well, it's 2 a.m. local
We're
time.
We're going to bring this
Sunday
back tomorrow.
Morning.
Is it not time to get rid of that?
We've had this conversation before.
They've tried many, many times.
For whatever reason, Congress cannot get behind this. And they did do it back in the 70s. And it turned out a lot of things happened, I think, financially that they didn't anticipate. Well, we'll have to look it up. All right, we got to run. Bonus hour is coming up next. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.